Welcome to another broadcast feature right here on Real Prospector. Today's installment, we open with Robert Palmer, RP of RP Funding and the Robert Palmer family of companies. We then go on to our featured guest, Jeffrey Rambert. Jeffrey is well known in commercial real estate and using his writing skills to get to the heads of industry. Later, we'll continue the conversation with Andres Goyanes, well known for incorporating his writing skills and public speaking skills to reach a diverse audience of buyers and sellers in a very, very active part of town. That would be Windermere and Winter Garden areas of Central Florida, both suburbs of Orlando. Now, Robert, no doubt the real estate industry is making a huge rebound from those days of 2008, but a large number of families have yet to join the trend.
Where Wall Street has come back to be not so afraid of housing, the consumer really hasn't. We're not seeing millennials come out and buy the way they should. This is the whole reason for rule number 7, own real estate sooner, not later. When you look at the wealth being created, right? So yeah, we had that period where there was a lot of wealth eliminated by housing. What we find is, Rob, what I find from my personal experience is most people didn't buy the house at that high value. They remortgaged the house at that high value and got a bunch of tax-free cash that they used to do other things with.
Right.
Right. And now there are some people who bought at the top. But for most people, if you look at the number of people that are upside down and underwater, were underwater during the lowest point in the market, that many people didn't buy houses during the boom. So a lot of those people were upside down because they had gotten second mortgages, they had remortgaged and cashed out their property, and then the values dropped. So when we really look at, see, those people actually made money off the deal, right? I mean, So they bought the house for $200,000 and then it shot up to $400,000 and they borrowed an extra $100,000 against it, used it to go buy, whatever, a boat, a jet ski, a new car, and then lost the house in foreclosure, but probably kept the boat, the jet ski, the new car, whatever it is. That's not everybody, but there are people who fall in that category. And so when we look at housing over the long term, it really only creates winners. You know, if you look at it over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, if you carve out the 4 years of absolute pain, which I will say ran from 2007 to 2011, right? Somewhere in there, maybe 8 to 12, somewhere in there. But people who bought after that are doing great. And people who bought before that and didn't re-cash out and raise their mortgage balance, they're doing okay too. So housing is a great thing. And housing is such a key part of this country's wealth creation and the American dream. We've talked about examples where if a $200,000 house only goes up in value 3% a year, that's $6,000. Over 10 years, it's going to compound and end up being more like $70,000 because you're getting gains on the gains, right? It's compound interest. It's compound appreciation. You know, where else can the average person pick up an extra $70,000 in net worth over 10 years without putting a dime into savings, making the same exact payment they would have made if they were renting, right? That's the key. If renting was way cheaper, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? Rob, if I could rent the house for, let's see. So if we're talking about $6,000 a year in appreciation on a $200,000 house, we got 12 months. So you're talking about $500 a month that your house is going up in value on a $200,000 home with a normal 3% appreciation, which we really haven't seen. We've seen more than that, but we're going to be conservative and say 3%. So that's $500 a month. So if you could rent for $1,000 a month and the house was going to cost you $1,500 a month for similar living conditions, right? Then at the end of that 10 years, you would have, it would be a wash, right? Because the renter would have saved the $60,000. The owner has gained the $60,000 in appreciation plus whatever they've paid down the mortgage. So it's a much closer wash. But what we're seeing today is for a similar property, the rent is actually more than the mortgage payment, right? I mean, you see this, Rob. You're in tune with what's going on in the market. So today, that house, the mortgage payment's $1,500. The rent payment's probably $1,500, maybe $1,600. And again, at the end of the 10 years, the renter doesn't have the equity. The renter doesn't have the lower mortgage balance. I mean, even after 10 years, you're going to pay down probably, you know, you would think, oh, 30-year mortgage, after 10 years, I'll have paid down one-third. It doesn't really work that way.
No.
Because you, in the early days, you pay less toward principal because it's going toward interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably will pay down about 15% of the value. So that $200,000 house, after 10 years, we've probably paid down the balance by $30,000. And it's gone up in value by like $70,000 because the, you know, so the reason it's not just $6,000 a year, Rob, is so the first year it goes from 200 to 206. Well, mm-hmm. now the next year, the 3% is off of 206. So now it's like $6,180 that it goes up, right? And so it goes up a little more each year because it's worth more and more every year. So you're talking probably $70,000 increase in value over 10 years on a $200,000 house using a conservative 3% appreciation. And then you're going to pay down the mortgage like $30,000 on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage just by making your normal payments. If you throw in an extra payment a year, you can really accelerate that and have even more equity. But you're talking about $100,000 in wealth for doing the same thing you would have done if you were a renter, mailing in a check every month for $1,500.
And we continue with Real Prospector Radio with Jeffrey Rambert, Isola & Associates, Commercial Mortgage Brokers, and Forward Florida Economic Development. Let's talk a little bit about commercial mortgages and how they might differ from a residential mortgage.
Well, the commercial mortgage is just simply another investment vehicle. You can buy bonds, you can buy stocks, you can buy gold, you can buy coins. We just happen to be big fans of the real estate industry and commercial in particular. That being said, residential is a very emotional buy. Commercial is not an emotional buy.
So how hard was commercial hurt in 06, 07, 08?
In the state of Florida, it stopped cold.
Really?
Nothing moved. Lenders pulled out of the market. We primarily represent life insurance companies who come in from out of state and drop money into Florida. There were no loans in 08 and 09, but they're back.
They're coming back.
They're back big. Florida is one of the most popular states to loan money right now.
So insurance companies or financial companies that do pensions are big into buying shopping centers and large tracts of land. Am I right there?
Well, what they do is if you buy an annuity through your life insurance company, they've made a promise to you of a certain return. The only way they can guarantee that return is to attach to an investment vehicle that will guarantee them a return. And it's usually commercial mortgages.
So they had to be panicking when things started to turn south.
There were a lot of annuity holders who want to know where their money was coming from.
Now, what we're looking at, as I can see it, is I was involved somewhat in shopping center development in the 70s and 80s. It was everybody jump on board, let's have a good time. And there were a lot of centers going up. Now, it seems like now some of those old centers are probably going to have to be rehabbed to even look at the neighborhoods around them, which are starting to decline. Does bringing back a good commercial property and revitalizing it, does that have a centrifugal force, so to speak, that it's kind of a circle that goes out and things begin to improve around it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The having good commercial property, good retail, good stores, good restaurants, encourage people to move into neighborhoods. You know, they look around to see what restaurants can I walk to? What stores can I shop at? So commercial can lead the way for an increase in residential development.
So you've probably also seen that somebody would take a strip mall, revitalize it, put in some new stores, like we've been seeing in the Orlando area along 1792 and Winter Park, for instance. And so they're rebuilding some commercial areas, which you might have the first loan on, but then you might also get somebody from a property that's three blocks down come to you and say, if they're remodeling, it's time for us to get with the new look.
Yes. The developers will come in, they will run out the leases, pay off the leases, and start fresh. And come in with a new look to the center, a new group of tenants, and meet the market.
Now, how does a commercial mortgage company get the word out? I mean, we are flooded in the media with everybody who wants to lend us money on a home, right? Or lend us money on even a vacation home or a rental. But you don't hear a lot, you know, in common media from companies who are saying, I'd like to loan you some money to open up a supermarket.
A lot of investors will go to the banker first. And banks typically don't want a loan beyond 5 years. And if they do go beyond 5 years, you must be very, very special. But you're going to get a rate bump after 5 years, and no one wants rate bumps. They want to know where their rates are. The banks, in turn, will recommend you need to talk to a mortgage broker, mortgage banker, and see about getting a long-term permanent loan through a life insurance company. That's where we get the call, because our lenders as life companies are long-term lenders with fixed rates 10, 15, 20 years.
And so you're a broker, so you're not lending out your company's money or Fannie or Freddie. You're actually getting money from insurance companies or REITs, right?
We have marketing agreements with more than a dozen life insurance companies throughout the United States, and that's exactly right. We find clients to borrow money from these life companies.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk now about the future in commercial real estate, not only in Florida, but throughout the country. Are we going to be looking at a competition with what's happening online? You know, is somebody going to say, do I build a store or do I take my product line to Amazon? You all look at that?
Many of our lenders look at the industry first. They look at the, then they look at the tenant. If you're a top quality tenant, then it's easy to get the loan. If you're a B tenant, it's hard to find loans for those tenants. The relationship in commercial is very personal. If you're the life insurance company loan officer, you want to meet me as the client because we're going to be in business together for 15 years.
Right.
So whereas we use online for business operations, the actual borrowing and loaning of money is still a face-to-face business on the commercial side.
Yes, it would be. Now, when do you draw the line between, all right, I'm going to make your corporation, your LLC, a commercial loan, or I'm going to ask for personal guarantees?
It depends on your experience. Are you a first-time investor or are you a seasoned investor? You know, if you're a mom and pop and you've got a chunk of change and you want to invest in real estate, this is your first game. You're going to be guaranteeing the loan.
Right.
If you've been in business for 20, 30 years and you've got experience at this particular type of property, chances are we can find you non-recourse financing. Again, it also applies to your location and what type of tenant mix you have.
And I guess when we're looking at a lot of families, especially in Florida, but in other states as well, are taking agricultural property and deciding to go commercial with it. So they can do all the governmental stuff. They can get the zoning done and all that. They can twist some arms down there at the county seat. But do they have to put up the land as collateral if they want to build a shopping center on it?
If they want a loan that we would help provide them, the land in the building is their collateral. So if it goes south, our lenders take the whole show.
They get everything.
However, lenders don't want these properties back. A lot of the lenders that took properties back in 08, 09 right. ended up with a portfolio of properties. They don't want to be in the management company. Lenders will go out of their way to avoid taking back a property. The key is if you're a property owner who's having some difficulty, remember, the lender is your partner in the deal. Talk to them up front. Don't wait until things go south.
Now, you are very accomplished in the industry. I think anybody in commercial knows that. Now, how do you tie that in with the fact that in a whole nother genre of life, and that is creative writing and writing of business with Forward Florida, how does that all tie together? When did you find that one strengthens the other?
In a previous life, I was a journalist. So we spent our life researching, asking questions. We also spent a lot of late nights. That being said, when we're closing a commercial deal, it can be a complicated venture in that we're looking for problems. We want to make sure there are no problems that will crop up down the line. We want 15 years of peace and prosperity. So we're dealing with the government. We're checking permits. We're going back years and years to find out if building officials did the proper inspections. We're checking with the zoning department. We're checking with DOT on future right-of-way takings.
Oh, boy.
So the research skills we developed as journalists apply here. It's still research. I just don't have a midnight deadline for the newspaper.
Well, I can imagine, too, that being a very accomplished writer can help you address the customer sector that you're going after. I mean, you know, you might go after an insurance group to be talking with an insurance group from the Northeast, or you might be talking to the Illinois Teachers Pension Fund. Quite a difference in mentality between the two.
Yes. Yes. I like to think I write pretty well. As such, determining who my market is, how they are going to read what I say. The big thing is understanding what each word means so that I get across the point I need to get across. The dilemma with social media is we write very fast and we're in a hurry to hit enter. I tend to take more time. I'll take all day to write that one letter. But for the amount of money involved, mm-hmm. I should take all day to write that letter. Because I want this investor or this potential client to understand completely what they're getting into.
So I'm really hoping that there's two sides that really need to understand that they're not separate. That you've got the people with creative writing groups and groups that are getting together to work together, teach each other how to write more effectively. And then you've got the guy that's over here in business and finance, and he says, I know my numbers. I got my numbers. I don't need to know any of this fancy schmancy stuff over here. I'm not going to a coffee shop on Wednesday night. Actually, he should.
Absolutely. Everyone can write. It's just the question is, how well do you write? I was trained to write. I've worked very hard to be a good writer. But anyone can write. Now, the mistake is writing and not having someone look at your work. Our office is filled with guys who are math majors. They're economics majors. I'm a journalism major, but we work together. I'll write the article. I'll write the story. I'll write the letter. I'll have them look it over. They'll draft out something. I'll look it over. But we work together on that, mm-hmm. so we take the disciplines and put them all together.
You also find that working with other writers, even in a social atmosphere or a club or whatever it might be, is broadening your horizons?
Oh, absolutely.
You can see so many more things that are available out there?
Absolutely. Dealing with even some of the of guest bloggers you have at Estate Advisor and Real Prospector, seeing what they do, how they go about their business, gives our firm ideas on how to promote our own business. I know how to write. I think I know how to promote, but I'm picking up new ideas every month just following these sites, talking with them at social gatherings, and using those ideas to help our real estate business.
Now, you do contribute to Estate Advice, our sister, or is it our brother's site? Whatever it is. Anyway, it's associated with the Robert Palmer family of companies. Tell us about some of the articles you put up.
I've done two pieces so far. One dealing with the hurricanes, on dealing with named storms. You know, when a storm is named, then the insurance industry or property insurance industry shuts down. You can't get insurance until the storm clears a certain geographic area. That was an interesting story to write, not only because a Real Prospector and Estate Advice published it, but then we in turn use that same information to pass along to our clients because they need to know that when they're trying to do loans through our company.
And of course, for the residential buyer, they need to know this too. They can pick up so much information from those sites because they need to understand that if they've got a closing coming up on a Friday, that if there is a named storm within so many hours, they are not going to close.
The insurance industry, property insurance industry, that is, does not discriminate between residential and commercial. When they shut down, they shut down.
So you had to be pretty excited when you heard that Estate Advice and Real Prospector were coming online.
It feeds my writing ego.
Is that right?
Yes.
How do people get in touch with you, and where can they join you for a little writer's inspiration?
Well, our group is called Writers of Central Florida or thereabouts. We meet on the second Wednesday of every month at Stardust Video and Coffee, where we encourage writers, poets, storytellers, people who are creative to come on stage and share their work. I tend to read columns. You know, political columns, sports columns, but that's what I write in my spare time. We also meet the fourth Wednesday of the month for our writers group to allow writers to discuss the art of writing at Graffiti Junction over in College Park.
Okay, one of the things, too, that you bring to the table that a lot of writers and speakers don't, is humor. I've got about a minute left. How do you use humor effectively? And you would think there'd be a big disconnect there. Here's a guy that works with numbers. How could he be funny?
We've had that discussion in the magazine. We find that humor attracts the reader. And we even use the humor in the real estate industry. You know, if we can put just enough spin on it, we got your attention. If you're not laughing, we know you didn't read it.
I love it. Tell us your contact information one more time. Can you, Jeff?
Well, with our commercial real estate, we're at isolacapital.com. And for the magazine, I'm at forwardflorida.com.
Now, I want you to promise me you're going to come back, because I want to take another 15-minute segment. I want to talk about Forward Florida and talk about the capital improvements and making things work here in Central Florida, as well as what other communities could do for them to catch fire and get moving again.
My publishers would love for me to do that.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on with the conversation as Real Prospector continues. And joining the conversation right now, I'm very pleased to bring into our studio Andres Goyanes, a residential realtor and marketing consultant, really spotlighting the Windermere and Dr. Phillips area of Orlando, a contributing editor for A State of Eyes since the inception of that wonderful website. Andres, how you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. First question, you are very well known in our community for bringing your expertise in writing, unbelievable talent in writing and creative writing, and bringing that into helping you in your real estate sales. How do the two tie together?
Well, for starters, communication is essential between two human beings in order to come to an agreement. That by itself means that it's very important. However, in real estate, you have the added element of legal as well as regulatory nature of the business, where communication is not just everything, it is actually what you're supposed to do. We have contracts, we have agreements, we have communication via email. Again, it is extremely important, and I believe one of the most important traits of a good realtor is to be able to communicate effectively, not just in person and spoken word, but also in writing.
And you've got to be very creative and very, I would think, adaptable, because no two people out there that you're doing business with are exactly alike. So I guess there's no cookie cutter form letter.
Well, actually there is, or as close as you can get to it. Over at My Realty, we use the DISC test. We evaluate ourselves with this test that is given to every realtor that comes into our office. And we learn about the four basic types of personalities. For example, I'm a driver influencer, but there's people who are more passive. There's people who are also in between. All of this information is helpful because if I have someone who is an attention to detail person and a high D, which would be a driver personality, they're going to be looking for bullet points. They're going to be looking for the details. In contrast, someone who is more passive will actually be looking for graphs and pictures and charts and something else that will communicate to them what they want to see or what they can actually receive from me.
Now, you're dealing with an area of sales that's very diversified. When I think of the area that you specialize in, Windermere and Dr. Phillips, I've been through both of those areas, you know, many, many times, as most Floridians have. And I've seen homes in the Windermere area that may be valued at only maybe in the 140s, 150s, and 180s, and across the street or go through a gate, and you're looking at some of the most expensive real estate in Florida. You're looking at Alworth and some of that. So you have to really be well-versed in how you address those people. So does economics enter into your communication?
It sure does, economics and education. Someone who is a business owner, a successful entrepreneur, or a professional will communicate in a different way than someone who perhaps has arrived recently to the United States. We're actually getting a lot of investors from countries like Brazil, and Latin America in general. And so the language, you know, not just speaking to them in their language is important. It's important to break down information to a level they can actually understand.
Now, in your firm, do you have people that specialize in the mid to high 100s and then those who may specialize in the 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 and then those that specialize in the million to $10 million properties out in that area?
Well, there is a small luxury team. However, because of the area of Windermere, Dr. Phillips, and so on, it's an area that already has homes with a median price of about $300,000. You have to be ready to talk to anybody because, again, I just this past weekend I had a lady who came from California. She's an investor, very well-versed in real estate. And, again, you know, she kind of caught me by surprise. I thought she was just the average person looking to buy a home. So she was very well-versed, and therefore the communication was elevated to a more sophisticated level.
How important is it for you to know going in to the deal or going into that first meeting, maybe the first written correspondence, to know if this is an investor or if this is somebody who's interested in making the selection of a home and then moving the family out later?
It's actually very important. One of the things that I do is I ask a number of questions, usually 3 to 5 questions that will let me know, number one, are they qualified? Number two, are they serious and committed to purchasing? Are they shopping? And again, all this information will help me understand because, you know, sometimes we get 3 or 4 requests in the same day, and it's almost impossible to again, go show properties for everyone. So by actually figuring out whether they have an immediate need, whether they are serious or not, I can then manage that conversation and maybe delay them if it's someone that's still not sure. And if I have someone who's actually ready, qualified, and really looking to find something today, I can then dedicate more time to that person.
Do you think that the above average cost properties have recovered now? I know when we first started coming out of the crash and the slowdown in real estate, the less expensive homes were moving. The family-sized homes were the first to respond. And the large homes, they were lagging behind, the jumbo loan-type homes. But are they finally catching up, Andres?
They are finally catching up. As a matter of fact, sometimes I make a joke that I have plenty of demand but not enough homes to show, especially in the 250 to half a million. You're still having you know, quite a bit of inventory out there that's basically already been sold in the last 3 or 4 years since we started this recovery. And now we have a lot less of those properties available.
Are many of those still underwater? What's the situation with those financially?
You know, by looking at some of the stats we get in our office, you have still about 10%, and again, different realties will have different numbers on this, but pretty close, between 10 and 20% of the homes may still be either underwater on some type of a short sale or foreclosure type of a deal.
Now, once you've had a successful relationship in the first house with an investor, I would think that your writing skills and your creative skills, now that you've gotten to know them, is just quantum important when you're going to extend that relationship and start offering that person more possibilities in Central Florida.
Absolutely. Typically with investors, they're well-versed in what needs to happen, so communication, believe it or not, may be easier. It is actually the average first-time or second-time home buyer that has a lot of questions, and they tend to be very picky about what they want. In contrast, the investor typically knows what they want. They already have a clear view of the price range they want to be in and the zone. So again, you know, truly communication still plays a role with all of them because I have to continuously adjust the message to communicate with them and have them receive that message and be able to process it effectively.
I would think, too, that something that really would contribute to the conversation and to the written conversation is that you are multilingual.
Absolutely. It certainly helps. You know, I speak Spanish, enough Portuguese to get by as, you know, having dealt with so many people from the Brazil market, and of course, a little bit of English. So between all of those three, I really can communicate more effectively with a lot of the customers that are coming in, especially from Latin America, which again, we all know that there's, you know, government changes. There's a lot of trouble going on down there, and the middle class is actually leaving. They're the ones that can actually afford to leave and sever ties, you know, sell their businesses or leave their jobs and come to the United States and start all over. And they're coming with a whole different perspective. They're typically well-educated. They have, you know, truly money in the bank, and all they're trying to do is just give their families a better life and a fresh start here in the States. So Orlando gets quite a bit of that market.
That is excellent. Can you give us your contact information?
Absolutely. To reach me, the easy way is phone number 407-404-1712. By email, it's AG, as in Apple and George, at executiveorlando.com. And the website's also www.executiveorlando.com.
And the name of the real estate brokerage?
My brokerage is Keller Williams Classic Real Estate, and we're located in Dr. Phillips.
Well, we certainly enjoy the articles that you write for Estate Advice, and I can't wait to get you back on the show sometime, get you in the studio, and we'll get several people in a nice group discussion about using creative writing skills, continue to improve, continue to join those writers groups so we can cultivate that and take it right to the level of being the best in the business. And Andres Goyanis, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.